This episode of Command Edit is brought to you by Studio Network Solutions. Their Evo shared storage systems are for post-production work groups ranging anywhere from 1 to 4 users all the way to state-of-the-art post facilities with over a petabyte of storage. Every Evo includes their easy-to-use media management software for organizing, tagging, and finding your media across all of your storage devices, even external, local, and cloud services. On top of that, all of their Evo systems have native Avid project bin sharing, project locking for Adobe Premiere, library sharing for Final Cut Pro X, and a bunch of other workflow features you and your team will love. To learn more about Evo shared storage systems, visit studionetworksolutions.com/commandedit.
Guys, welcome to another episode of the Command Edit Podcast. I am one of your two co-hosts, Josh Short, and our other co-host is...
Oh, I guess that's me. Hi, I'm Nick, and welcome to, I guess this would be like our first Christmas episode. I'm not sure if it'll be our only Christmas episode, but first December episode.
Yeah, so today we're going to talk about some holiday gifts for video editors, or basically what is on our holiday wish list. And I'll take a little screenshot of our Skype call so you can see what Nick is looking at.
Oh, well, you know what? I should have had, like, I've got a Santa hat, too. Should I be wearing it? Damn it. It's somewhere back there in the closet. So, oh well.
In my office, which is the first level of our house, right when you walk in the door, my wife, who is a little bit Christmas obsessed, put a second Christmas tree up. And it is over my right shoulder.
Wait, that's tree number two?
That is tree number two.
Wow. All right. You guys really go all out.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it was, we did it on Thanksgiving, so we didn't have to host Thanksgiving. So that morning we kind of took down all the stuff from the garage and spent the morning decorating. I complained half the time, as always, but I usually complain, you know, the entire time. But
I think it's safe to say, as of this recording, it's within a month away. So I think now the curmudgeons out there, i.e. us, need to stop complaining about it being too early. You know, it's less than 30 days away. Okay. But are you guys even getting snow yet?
What is snow? We don't get snow down here. Just kidding. So I am in outside of Washington, D.C., for those of you guys who don't know. But we don't usually get snow until January.
Till January. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Lucky you, man.
I mean, occasionally we'll get some in December. But, you know, January, February, that's the bulk of our snow.
Nice. Well, not saying like we've got anything up here. As far as snow goes, which is very strange, but usually we get a big downfall, so I don't know. Any day, the snowy axe is, you know, hovering over our heads, going to drop any second. So
and it doesn't stop till what, March?
And for March, April, something like that. But it's really weird at this time. You know, it's this time of year where it's getting to be like 5 or 10 degrees outside, which people are, and no, I'm not doing the wacky conversion for you.
No, 5 and 10. be clear for people. That's 5 or 10 degrees Celsius.
That's like Celsius. Yeah. So that's like, yeah. What, 70?
No,
70
no,
or 68 for you guys? I don't know.
No, that's like 42.
But people are complaining that it's freezing. Like, ooh, God, it's so cold. It's so cold right now. It's getting all the way down to 1 degree Celsius. Oh my God. But if you fast forward a few months, by the time it's like March or April, warming back up again, as soon as it hits 1 or 2 degrees Celsius, people are like shorts and t-shirts and going nuts and talking about how warm it is. So yeah, people will just start quick to complain about the cold.
I mean, I'm one to complain the entire winter, the entire fall, the entire spring about the cold. I'm just one of those people. I just cannot wait for June, July, August, and for it to be 100 degrees Fahrenheit every single day.
I will say this, in the cold weather, I sleep better. So I don't know about you, but when it's actually cold and you got that blanket cocoon action going on, like that, you get a deeper, better, higher quality sleep.
I have heard like the ideal sleeping temperature is like 65 degrees Fahrenheit. so that's probably true for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Should we jump into our holiday wish list?
Absolutely. So I guess this is the episode where you have to, we all have to put out our Christmas wishes because this is how Santa figures out what you want. He listens to us and nothing else. He ditched the whole wish list system, ages ago. So if you guys are looking for some gift ideas, listen up to this episode. But also if you've got some gift ideas that you're looking to get yourself, then go and throw them up on the Command Edit podcast Facebook group so that we all know what you're shopping for. What do you want Saint Nick to get you? And no, that's not me. The other
That's not you.
Saint Nick. Don't expect anything from me.
So my question is, when you were putting your list together, did you have any requirements or any sort of structure you were going after?
A structure?
Yeah, so or are you just picking things out of the air?
Yeah, things that I want.
Things that you want.
No,
Okay.
there are things day to day that I try to remember, like, that's something that I could really use that I always, I keep remembering that, I would like this to be part of my toolkit often enough that it's annoying that I don't have it, and yet I keep forgetting to buy it for myself.
Okay,
Or,
fair enough.
get someone else to buy it for me. So yeah, there are way. Do you ever find that, especially as you if you work for a company, especially where, as I'm working for this company that I'm contracted for right now, they supply all the equipment for me. So they have the computer suite, they have the keyboard, the mouse, the drives, everything they have laid out for me. I'm trying to get used to the idea of using someone else's gear, but each day I'm living like, this is good, but I know it would be better. And I don't know, like, can I ask for this or can I just buy it and bring it in? Because I've often moved to that. I actually just went and bought a working drive for me to work from because at first they were just giving me like a regular Seagate 2 TB drive to work from. That's what I cut that documentary trailer I talked about last episode on, and it was kind of a nightmare. So I went out and got a bit of a faster solution, a rated, a 2 drive rated USB powered drive. So at least again, a bit more of a speed boost. But they also kind of made me feel bad, like, oh, you shouldn't have to go out and get the gear. So I don't know.
It is a delicate situation, especially for you, because you are still relatively new there. But I would say if you plan on continuing to reuse this device, like this hard drive, like, yeah, you're definitely going to get some use out of it in your own freelance career, even if, things go south with this company. Sure, okay, go ahead, buy it, write it off, no big deal. But for me, I'm gonna ask first and be like, hey, you want to get this for me? Chances are, they might say no, which is okay. And then I gotta kind of make that call if I want to purchase it myself. But hey, if you are fully employed with a company, I think completely different situation. Ask them and see if they can provide for you. So maybe some of these things on your wish list, you can probably ask. We'll see. Maybe not all of mine. I can ask for. Yeah.
Well, let's get into it. Saint Nick is listening, so let's feed him some gift ideas. What about you? Did you have any rhyme or reason to the toys that you're putting down?
So I try to find a variety, not just all sorts of hardware, not just all computer things, but more some software, some subscriptions, a book. And I will start with my first one, which is my big ticket item, which is something on my wish list, but I don't think this wish will get fulfilled this year, and that is for a drone. I know next to nothing about drones and using a drone and drone videography, but I do know it's pretty darn cool. There was one on B&H that looks the coolest, or cool for the cool cost of $1,150, and that is the DJI Mavic Pro. Shoots in 4K, does all the droney things. Control it with your smartphone, all that stuff. So that is my number one big ticket item. You have an interest in getting a drone?
I have always had an interest in getting a drone, but strictly, if it were me, then it would be largely like 90% like hobby slash shooting for myself, and maybe occasionally using for commercial use or using it for an actual job I've been hired for. So is it more hobby for you or is it work related?
That I actually think that's my problem is that I don't know exactly what I use it for. So, I mean, for my LLC, for my freelance career, I don't really do much shooting. So I don't know if I would just go into, oh, I'm just going to do some aerial videography for you. That doesn't really seem, I don't know, unless I went really specialty into that. So yeah, it would probably be more for fun stuff. I do have ideas for vlogging, that kind of stuff. I would use aerial drone cinematography for.
They do look like they're a lot of fun to fly.
Mm-hmm.
And slightly nerve-wracking, I'm not going to, I'll admit. I'd be a little bit nervous flying that thing out over water or over anything, just about, you know, taking it up to any extreme height.
If there's more than, you know, like 5 mph wind.
Yeah. But it's definitely something that is very handy. You always want to be that cool guy who's got that in his kit. Like, oh man, I really wish we could get like a nice aerial shot of this. Oh, I got that on the truck. Or, hey, I got one right here. Whip it out, let it fly, get the shot. But yeah, I don't know. I personally talked to a friend of mine who, in the early days of drones, back when they were still big and heavy and still multiple thousands of dollars and pretty prohibitive to get, he actually started a business up fairly early on that was himself and two others who were, you know, the three people together operated this drone. So it was like one person operating the camera, one person operating the drone, one person acting as a spotter. And he did everything by the book for that business. So that was like, you know, back when you could charge a few thousand dollars a day to fly a drone and get some shots. And, you know, it was flying like red cameras, like the, you know, the big Husky cameras, that it wasn't down to like the GoPros just yet. And all I remember is him talking about the business side of it. So him trying to tackle a 100% drone videography business was nothing short of a bit of a nightmare. So that's why he kind of got out of it. And that's why I guess you don't see specialized, maybe they do exist out there, but very few businesses that are specialized drone videographers, because it does take a lot and you have to charge a lot. It's a lot of overhead. So that's why I guess you see a lot of people having them as hobbyists, as flying around and shooting for themselves or just for like personal projects.
Yeah, I can't say enough about the drone business industry, like on the shooting side. But I do think that you'd probably need to be in a major market or at a very picturesque place. Like you're stationed at, you know, Myrtle Beach. I know Myrtle Beach isn't picturesque, but you know you're at a place where people want, you know, those aerial shots. You know, Miami or you know, Chicago. It's stuff with, you know, monuments, things you need to see. I don't know why Myrtle Beach was the first place that popped in my head. I've actually never even been there. And you don't even know where Myrtle Beach is.
I accidentally hit mute on the mic. I've heard of it, but yeah, I have no idea where it is. So no, but you have no idea where I am. So there, we're
that's right.
Well, cool. Any reason in particular for a deal? Because I know that there are other drones out there and it is still constantly evolving right now. You know, GoPro still have theirs? I don't know if they canceled it entirely or not. I think they had some major problems with theirs and they did a massive recall. I'm not even sure if they came back from that at all.
Oh, I don't know. I know we talked about it, you know, ages ago when it was first coming out, but I don't know. And for that one in particular, it was just, you know, a little bit of digging on B&H, and I found one. I think my only requirement is 4K camera, because if you're getting a drone, come on, you got to be 4K at this point, even though I still don't even work in 4K yet.
Yeah. Well, I think actually I saw some news the other day, just this morning on the train, some camera that's coming out. I would have to look up the tab. I think I saved it specifically to talk about it on the podcast, but now I've forgotten what it was about, but it was a new camera. I think it was maybe an RE camera coming out, 14.5K or something ridiculous. And people were, somebody in some forum somewhere was talking about the workflow, like what the 14.5K workflow is going to be. Like, I don't know. I'm struggling with four. Like, leave me alone.
All right. What is top of your list?
Top of my list is something that has been at the top of my list for all of this year. And since I am kind of looking to relocate, housing, that is, when I do go to move, the desk that I have will probably have to go. It'll be too much trouble to move it. It's a nice desk, but it's a two-parter, take apart and put it back together sort of thing. Don't really want to deal with that. What I would rather get is get a nice standing desk or desk with a standing converter on top of it. And I'm still sort of narrowing down my choices of exactly which ones to get, because man, there are a lot of them out there. And I think at one point, I think one of our members, Rhonda, if you're listening to this, I remember you got one and that looked really appealing, but since then I've kind of forgot about it. But the one that that's caught my eye recently is there's one that is made by Ergotron, which is they do standing desks and also standing desk converters. So the things that you can just put over top on top of a regular standing desk. Sometimes it takes a little bit of installation, but yeah, it's just a device you put on top of your existing desk, and then your monitors and all your other peripherals sit on top of it, your keyboard, and you can raise lower it. So converts your desk into a standing desk. And I would really like to get that because I have been in love with the idea of just being able to switch up, you know, my body position from time to time. I've gotten used to getting up, going for a walk every hour just to get the blood flowing. And there are some times where I'm just sick of sitting at the desk. I would love to stand for a little bit. So I just want the option to be able to, you know, raise and lower my monitors and keyboard and keep working. And yeah, but you know, that would also be more for home. So I doubt that I could probably get that into work.
Yeah, we've been talking about that at the office about trying to get some standing desks, but yeah, a lot of them, they're just so not cost friendly.
The converters they're only a few hundred dollars.
The Ergotron.
There's Arthrodesk as well, but the one at Arthrodesk is about $200-$300.
Okay, Ergotron sounds like a transformer. And what was the other one?
Arthrodesk.
Arthrodesk sounds like a college course elective that you take when you're a junior.
So you're saying go for the transformer?
Yeah, I think so.
Robots in disguise. Yeah, so that would be one of the things that I haven't quite justified the money to spend on that, because granted, it's not a necessity, but some of us out there would argue that it is.
So I would love a standing desk. I know there's a ton of editors out there with them. I'm always concerned of like cable snags. Like if you have one that goes up and down and you just have all your cables plugged in, you know, in your hard drive and you're just cranking away, and all of a sudden you just rip one of your, you know, wires out of your hard drive. You know, you could do some damage that way.
Well, that's why, yeah, you have to practice excellent cable management, which is another thing. Like right now, cable management, my desk, not a thing whatsoever that is being practiced. But yeah, you do have to practice excellent cable management so that you are free to move the desk up and down. And actually, I just realized now which brand, which standing desk converter it was that Rhonda was using. Maybe she mentally just sent that thought to me. Varidesk. So varidesk.com. I'll include the link in the description. But I remember now that's what I had bookmarked so long ago as that's the one that I wanted to get. Because there are different ones you can get for different sizes of desk. And this one has a nice full one for both monitors, keyboard, maybe your pot of coffee, plenty of room. But
keep the pot of coffee away from the hard drives, people.
Absolutely. You know what? I'm surprised that at work, I'm surprised no one has said anything to me just yet, because of I keep my coffee sitting right next to the keyboard, where like my hands always like just nudging it, and luckily like nowhere near keyboard, nowhere near hard drives, but it's always like near the mouse and the keyboard, and no one's said anything just yet.
It's so risky. Mine is very far away from the desk. I have to turn the chair and like move away in order to get my coffee or water.
But you have to have it like at the ready.
Yeah. I drink enough of it as it is. All right. So my next one is a plugin called Clones and Effectors, and that's on aescripts.com. Not really any reason in particular I want this one. I just know that I want some scripts for After Effects because I know everyone out there is using them, and I've never gotten one. And I was just doing some searching, and I was like, you know what? This one looks cool. This one allows you to animate multiple layers at the same time, and just make some cool little bounce effects for icons and stuff that I would use a lot of the time in some of my more fun training videos that I create. And that one is $89, and literally you can scroll through aescripts.com and probably spend, you know, a couple $100 easy on there. But I know After Effects, I want to make a big priority for 2018. I don't know why, but the past, you know, year, I just haven't been able to use it as much. And I do feel like some of my skills are not necessarily slipping, but just more atrophying. So I know next year I want to get back in there just because I've spent so much time in Premiere and getting up to speed in Premiere for the past, you know, year, 16 months that, you know, time to get back on the After Effects train.
All right. Well,
yeah,
you and me both, buddy, because, yeah, from time to time I open up After Effects and I have to go, okay, I don't recognize this. I need to get reaffiliated, refamiliarized with this place. And I used to be so good at it.
Yeah.
There's something changed.
There's some things in After Effects when I open it up, I just absolutely love. And I'm just like, oh, why doesn't Premiere work this way? And then other times I'm sitting there in After Effects and I'm just scratching my head. You know, I'm just like, why on earth? Anyway, there was no substance in that comment. So let's move on.
Well, my next device, actually, there might be a theme to my toys versus yours. Because last one was a standing desk, which is not something that's actually directly involved with video editing. It's more of a biohack, a life hack device. And this one is kind of in the same vein. I'm more curious about it. It's not even one that will fulfill an absolute need for myself, but I'm just really curious about trying it and seeing what effect it has on it, which equals probably a waste of money. Not like a waste of money, but a splurge, you know, I don't really need this, but I'm going to buy it anyways. That is a human charger. You know what a human charger is?
I haven't the foggiest idea.
Get those images of like the Matrix and, you know, humans that are actually like being made into batteries, like out of your head. So a human charger is a device that actually looks suspiciously like, you know, an old school iPod and complete with earbuds, you know, and a little handheld device. And what it is, you know, you put the earbuds in your ear, and it's for people who work in environments that where you don't get a whole lot of sun each day. So getting sunlight is actually very important for many reasons, for your body to stay healthy, for your circadian rhythm to stay on track. So if you have trouble waking up in the morning, you're feeling groggy, because you don't see the sun in the morning. And by the time you get out of work, if you work in a windowless environment, you walk outside and it's dark. If you never see the sun, your body starts to get confused. It can slow down. You can get sick. There are a lot of chronic illnesses that can come from that. If you listen to any like biohack podcasts or read any of those kinds of articles, then you might be familiar with what I'm talking about. But this is a device that basically, you're going to laugh, it helps people who don't get enough sunlight per day. The earbuds actually give off a little bit of UV radiation. And so just for about 10, 15 minutes of these earbuds being in your ears, you can basically get a dose of sunlight. Yeah.
That's a little crazy.
It sounds pretty sci-fi, doesn't it?
So how...
So it's roughly about 300 Canadian, I believe. It's like two something, 220 US. But they've been incredibly popular. And so they're not like a woo-woo. They're not like a, you know, it's been growing in popularity. And a lot of people have sworn that, you know, these do help immensely. The type of therapy it is called intracranial light therapy. So it has saved a whole lot of people's lives when it comes to, you know, those creative professionals like us who live in a windowless environment all day, don't get that sunlight. If you feel like this is something that is getting you down, if you feel like, you know, a little bit more exposure to light might be able to help boost your energy throughout the day, it might help fight anxiety, depression. In short, it helps avoid that you know, burnt out feeling that you may get, particularly during the winter months when sunlight is at its minimal. Anyways, so I don't know about you, but I personally hate the idea of, I used to work a job actually years and years and years ago, a factory job where I never saw the sun. So I would wake up so early in the morning, the sky fireball had not shown yet. I would get to work. It was in a factory, so no, you know, we were, you know, bagging, you know, foods and spices and stuff like that. And by the time I got out of there, the sun had already set. And I worked that job for 3 or 4 months and it drove me nuts. And I hate that feeling, so I never want to go back to that. I think I do get enough sunlight as it is, but I'm just wondering, will this give me superpowers if I plug it into my ears?
So that actually, it sounds fascinating. And yeah, you know, you sold me on it. So you are 2 years older than me, I believe. And you have had the most fascinating jobs that I can never imagine having in my lifetime.
I don't even think they're that fascinating.
Not what you did is fascinating, but just the sheer scope and variety and what you did. Like, how have you crammed all that in so far?
I think to someone else, maybe it sounds like that, but I hear other people's jobs of, like, you know, that take them around the world and stuff like that. And I think, man, you've lived a full life, but, I don't know. I'm sure if you were to sit down and tell me your entire resume right now, I'd go, man, that's a ton of jobs that I know nothing about. And that just completely blows my mind.
All right. But I do not have depressing factory worker, as one of mine.
Do you get, like, is there a window in your office? Do you get a whole lot of daylight?
Absolutely not. There's no window. I am in a closet. It is the largest closet of all the closets. It's probably, I don't know, about 8 feet wide, 8 feet deep, maybe a little more, maybe 10 by 10, you know, about a prison cell.
Well, yeah. So that probably sounds very familiar to a lot of our listeners. So if this sounds like you, this is something that I'm interested in. So maybe I'll be the test guinea pig. I'll go get it first and I'll see what it feels like. Granted, I do get regular breaks throughout the day to go outside, get some sun. So, you know, maybe I'll have to purposely, like, lock myself away or something like that. Live a vampire's life for a little bit.
I do try to get up at least every hour, if not every hour, every other hour, and then go stand in front of the window for about a minute. So generally helps kind of break up the day. And yeah, each time, you know, drink a cup of coffee, go back in, you know, ready to go.
Along with that, I'll just kind of tag this on because I literally just heard about this today as well. There was a lamp that my workmate actually just got. So the editor directly to the left of me, 2 feet at work, he got this lamp bedside that is a globe and has an alarm built into it. So you could, you know, that's the, you know, your alarm clock. And it is a glowing bulb of light that starts to, you know, grow in intensity. So it starts to turn itself on half an hour before your alarm is set to go off. So it kind of simulates the sun rising in your room for half an hour, then your alarm goes off, and that's supposed to better prepare you for that time to wake up so you don't hit the snooze button. So that's a second thing I'll attach to that.
Effing technology, man. It's crazy. Yeah, that won't work if you have a significant other or spouse that gets up after you.
No, because
they will hate you. So, all right, well, you are absolutely crushing my list, I feel like, but on with mine. My next item on my list is a ticket to NAB
Ooh, Santa, please.
Yes. I guess this is my big ticket item, not the drone. But yeah, ticket to NAB would be very nice. I know we probably bring up NAB quite a bit, but I have not been since my one time in 2009. And I forget, Nick, have you been?
Never. Now, what sort of ticket are you talking about? Because Santa needs you to be specific. So what sort of ticket are you looking for?
The full thing. I want the floor exhibit and a post-production world where I can go to all the classes, meet all the people, go to all the happy hour events, all that stuff. That's what I want.
There, Santa. Done. We just had to ask Santa for it. That's it.
Thank you, Saint yeah. Nick. Yeah. What is that? Do we know what NAB retails? I mean, I think it's close to like 1,500 or 2,000. Post-production world.
I thought that was less actually.
Maybe it is less. I don't know.
But whatever it is, yeah. Throw in hotel costs and travel as well into there, just in case. You know, shoot for the moon.
Yep, gotta fly Southwest all the way.
Yep. Well, and double up on that so that hopefully he'll add a plus one to that so we both can go.
You're going to be my plus one?
I assume, but that's up to you.
Yes. You will be my plus one.
Well, my next item that I have up on here are some things that I probably should have gotten a long time ago. Very basic things, but I've neglected them for some time. In fact, most recently, Twain Richardson kind of got this ball rolling where we would do like a virtual video tour of our editing suites, our editing desks on Twitter. So thank you, Twain. But I was also a little bit embarrassed to share mine because while I'm very proud of all of the things that I have involved with my edit suite, there's one part that is very lacking. And honestly, it's something that I probably don't have to put money to at all, but I kind of feel like I should. Currently, the speakers that I have right now, if you could see these, they are the dinkiest things I probably got for maybe $30 at Best Buy years ago. Years and years ago when I've got my very, not even this Mac Pro, but that Mac Pro over there that's sitting in the corner. They are just the dinkiest speakers that you ever did see. And so I don't even use them for proper audio referencing, like when I'm doing like the mix down or anything like that. I need to throw on the headphones so I can hear it when I'm paying ultra attention to the audio. But these speakers, like I want the actual audio monitors, the big beast things that, you know, that make you look a little bit more professional. I know absolutely jack about audio though, so that's why it's kind of not even a smart way to spend money. My wish list is just full of things that are just not a good way to spend your money whatsoever. But I don't know. I just feel like that would allow me to better appreciate, you know, what goes into audio mixing. And also, you know, I should be getting around to spending a little bit more time in that because as an editor, that's kind of a big part of the job is to make sure that the audio sounds pristine. And how are you going to do it with these dinky Logitech speakers?
So do you do like surround sound for any of your movies or videos that you create?
No, God, no. And honestly, like I do, if I'm doing the audio, then it's usually for like a commercial or corporate video or low budget short film or something like that. Something where, oh, you don't have the budget for an audio professional? Okay, then I'll do it. You know, so I can do the very basics of, I can make it sound not crappy, but if you need it done, you know, by a professional, which I will always push for. I have a Rolodex, you know, theoretically, of people's names that I'll turn to, that those are the audio professionals to hire. So I would rather get this guy who knows what he's doing, who that is solely his purpose is to mix the hell out of your movie, and call him and get him to do it for me. So sometimes even out of my own pocket, just because I would rather have someone do the job right. So yeah,
I agree. I feel like me and you are both on the same let's call it audio editing skill level. However, I do have to do all of my own audio. I mean, 99.999% of the time. Yeah. Actually, 100%, I've never shipped audio off. I don't even know why I gave that 99.99. It's 100% of the time I do all of my audio. I don't do any surround, and most of my stuff, it is training videos, so it is people wearing headphones, or it's you know, web stuff. So it doesn't need to be surround. It doesn't need to be, you know, like you're watching, what is it, Blue Planet 2,
yeah,
or whatever everyone's watching right now. So, you know, your $30 speakers are $30 more expensive than the speakers that I have.
Please don't say that you just use, like, the internal speaker on your computer.
That is what I use because...
Oh, dear.
Well, no. Time out. Hold on. Time out. Quit the judge machine right there. So in the office, I do have the big honking speakers that, you know, weigh 40 pounds each. And one is literally breaking the side of my desk off. But I do wear awesome Sennheiser headphones, and I do all of my audio through them. And I wear these headphones about 6-7 hours a day.
Those gotta be pretty comfy.
Yeah, they sound fantastic. I get minimal complaints about the audio. You know, it's as good as I can make it.
All right, fair enough.
Stop judging the internal speaker on the mic. However, I am getting a sound bar for Christmas, I think.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. So that'll be.
I should get one of those too.
That'll be for the upstairs, but hypothetically, it's wireless, so I could bring it down here and play back from my computer from it. So we'll see how that experiment goes. You guys stand by another month or so, and I'll let you know.
Cool. All right. What else? Is it you or me?
You. Why don't you do one? All right.
All right. Well, all right. Back over to me, I guess. Am I asking for more stuff than you? I don't know.
I think so. Yeah.
So one of the last things I'll ask for, I'm kind of torn actually between which of these two things I should get, because one is something that I don't have and the other is something that I should probably replace, because I'm very aware these monitors that I have, I first purchased them with my very first computer, which was about maybe 12 years ago. So I have not replaced these monitors. The two monitors that I currently am working with, which are, what are they? Samsung SyncMaster 245s. I think they were like $300 a piece when I got them. They were pretty cool. They were large size when I first got them, and now they're kind of dwarfed by, you know, the larger monitors that are out there. They're not color balanced. I don't need them to be. I have a JVC monitor, broadcast monitor over here to my right that I use for all of my color corrections. So this, you know, these I don't really have to keep color balanced, you know, whatsoever. But I'm always just kind of worried. I suppose I always need to live with this idea that the gear that you buy, you typically should look to replace, like sell and replace, within 2 to 3 years, because that's kind of like, well, from an accounting perspective, that's kind of when, you know, it has depreciated enough in value that, yeah, you can, you know, it, most of its value is used up. So now you should probably look at selling and replacing it. Also, after 2 or 3 years, with the amount of, you know, with the amount of new toys that keep rolling off the conveyor belt, at the 2 year mark, you've kind of reached like your, you know, either you sell it for X number of dollars, or after 3-4 years, no one's going to want it, so you're not going to be able to sell it anyways. So you can kind of get like your maximum amount of money back to then reinvest into some new gear. Plus, you know, how much time are your monitors spent being on, and how much of a life do you really expect them to have? Eventually, they're just going to go pooch on you. So, you know, I seem to always just work my gear right into the ground, you know, use it until it gives up and it just rolls over and dies, then go out and replace it. But sometimes that can, you know, it's like a car that can just happen at the worst time, and now you're forced to go out and spend money on replacing it. So I'd rather replace them while I've still, you know, while that's still like a choice for me. Plus I can move these over to my Mac Pro tower over here. Now I've got two monitors over on that computer. I'll have two monitors on this computer. and two functional edit suites completely.
You gonna get an assistant to go with that?
Perhaps, you know, that's probably that's in the cards. If I have a working computer over here that'll either be a render machine, you know, have that one churning out dailies while I'm working away on this one. And or if I, you know, I have a lot of projects on the go, it would probably make sense to bring in an assistant editor from time to time and say, you get that, you know, work on that machine. I'm going to work on this one.
Yeah. You know, I know a mattress fits in that room because I've slept in there.
Yes, it does. Hell, you think I should be getting a couch instead?
You should get you should get a sectional and you both sit on the same couch.
Yeah.
And work.
Yeah. Or should I just get like a Murphy bed?
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we sidebar. My wife and I did talk about getting a Murphy bed or trying to install a Murphy bed in our guest room, and we went down the Pinterest alley pretty far, and almost did it. Almost tried to construct one ourselves, but temptation of buying a $150 bed frame won out.
Oh man, but Murphy beds, come on, they're coming back. They're cool.
Yeah, that was gonna be a lot of work, and I'm not that handy.
You know, before I got this off, like this space was like my office. My office plus bedroom was in the other room, so much less space. And I actually did like a faux Murphy bed, like, you know, my mattress, my bed, I would just lift up and heave against the wall during the day so that I had more space so that I could work and I could move around. And then at the end of the night, I'd take my bed and pull it down off the wall. So I kind of always wanted a Murphy bed.
Sure, call that a Murphy bed. Hey, there you go.
That's a Murphy bed for $0. The poor man's Murphy bed.
So the last thing on my holiday, Christmas, Hanukkah wish list is a book, because, you know, you got to get a book every holiday season, and that is Origin by Dan Brown. I'm a sucker for the Dan Brown books and his Robert Langdon series, you know, the Angels and Demons, the Da Vinci Code, those. So there's a new book came out like a month ago or 2 months ago called Origin. It's like $13 on Amazon. I've told my wife, I've told my family, hey, put this in my stocking. I do hope I get that book.
All right. Well, funny enough, I do have a book to also get stuffed in the stocking as well, which I'm kind of hoping to get. I would love to get more as a resolution for next year. I would like to start, you know, getting more books that teach something about the psychology of editing a little bit more. So, you know, kind of the theory, but also just understanding the human response to video editing, understanding, you know, why do certain cuts work the way they do. So that's something I really would like to learn more of next year. This book that has been on my Amazon wish list for some time is called Concrete Wedding Cake. And it's by John William Heath. And if you're wondering, you know, how a name like that could have anything to do with editing, it's actually taken from some phrase that somebody uttered sometime on some production, something to the effect of, you know, the quote goes like, oh, today's dailies are like a concrete wedding cake. They're so beautiful to look at, but impossible to cut. So that's where the title comes from. But in a nutshell, it's a... Well, I'm totally just going to read the description. A concise, practical, and clear approach to motion picture editing based on his over 30 years of editing, directing, and producing. So it's a good balance of theory and technical, plus a little bit of autobiographical and story in there.
You're showing me up. My book is purely for entertainment value, and you over there, you're trying to get better at your craft.
That's because you know how to have fun, and I don't.
That is true. We are work-life balance between the two of us.
Yeah, that's the way it is. Yeah, cool. I think that's just about it. But if you reach the end and hey, you're looking for some smaller gift ideas for some other people, you can always get them a Soundstripe subscription. That would really be cool. And you know what? We'll help you get you there too, because we still are. We haven't talked about it in quite a while, but we do still, and always, you know, hopefully will, have a helpful link that will get you a further discount when you sign up for a Soundstripe subscription for a year, which gives you a year of unlimited music for all of your productions. How about that? It's the gift that literally keeps on giving.
Yeah, and if you use the coupon code COMMANDEDIT, all spelled out, no space, that should give you 10% off. We also put a link in the show notes. You can click that. That'll take you over to Soundstripe. Go back, listen to our episode with the founders of Soundstripe. We'll try and remember to put that in the links as well. They are awesome guys with an awesome product, and all the music that you hear in each of our episodes, those come from Soundstripe, and we do try to list the track name and the artist in the show notes as well. If you're ever interested, like, oh, I really like that song that you used, who was it, what was it called, and you can, you know, search it over on little Soundstripe little search tool, and you can download the song and use it in your project.
Absolutely, and they are always ever expanding their music database, so there's always new stuff going on there, new artists getting added. It's a pretty fascinating community to get into. In fact, what's cool is sometimes if you go onto the Soundstripe website, a little chat window will pop up. There's actually someone who is there, a representative, ready to take your questions. And from time to time, I've actually just sent them a question, say, hey, I'm looking for something that sounds like this. Do you have it? And then she'll, you know, he or she will come back with a, you know, oh, here's a playlist of the songs that I was able to find that match what you're looking for. Not saying that's something always to bother them with, but sometimes they, you know, you'll be greeted by a helpful person like that.
Yes, I've used that person a couple times before, and yes, it's a real person. They're sitting there waiting for you. It does not cost you any extra to use them, and you can kind of give them your parameters, and they'll spit you out, you know, a list of 5 or 10 songs that fit your criteria instead of you doing the searching yourself. It's pretty handy.
Absolutely. Well, I think that just about wraps up our episode. I think that our wish list is off to the North Pole, and we're going to be getting our gifts promptly. I think that's how this works. So if you guys have listened to this episode, got some new ideas to add now onto your wish list, then great. If you have some things in particular that you're wishing for that you would like us to know about, hey, we're curious. We want to know what you're looking to get this Christmas underneath the tree. So how can you do that? Well, you can drop us a line over on our Twitter account, Command Edit, or you can drop into the Facebook group, Command Edit Podcast on Facebook, and join in the conversation. I'm pretty sure we'll start up a post pretty soon, just the ever-expanding Christmas wish list of all the members in the group. So come and join in, and let us know what you're wishing for this year. And that's about it.
Nick's just staring at me like, all right, man, it's your turn to talk.
Yep. I'm just staring contest, me and you now.
I got nothing else to say. Let's wrap this guy up.
That's it. Yep. As always, yeah, subscribe to us on iTunes so you can get new episodes as they come out weekly-ish. But until then, thank you guys once again for plugging us into your ears, pressing play, listening to us. We really do appreciate it. That is our wish list. We just want your listenership. That's all we want. So thank you guys once again. Until next time, I'm Nick.
And I'm Josh.
And you're you. See ya.
See ya.